B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
The shoe that makes that issue. Not the sock. Just raw leather.
Jamie, we still have that music?
On the ski.
You know, without a pinky toe, you would fall over constantly?
It affects your balance.
Your pinky toe is crucial to a body's balance. Yeah.
Look at that.
Well, fun fact for you.
Thank you very much.
I'd love to get Jameis on the chicken or egg debate because there's some out there that say there's a protein found in the egg shell that is only from the chicken. It can only be produced by the chicken itself.
Really?
I'd like to present these facts to him, maybe in the basement of the NovaCare, and see his deep thoughts on it.
Did you spend all day yesterday like reading the like Snapple caps? What the hell were you doing?
I have a lot of useless information.
Because, you see, lizards communicate by push-ups.
What?
Lizards
communicate by doing push-ups.
I hope our Twitch audience is getting all this.
You see.
I hope they're getting all this.
Did you know lions are the only animals where yawning is contagious along with us humans?
Look at that.
Wow. What do you think Jameis thinks about that?
The glass is always full.
Can catching be contagious? And can like other receivers get that? Can that be a contagious thing, maybe?
I wish.
You know what? Maybe if that was the case, we'd be in a better position than we are right now. Tyree, Northeast Philly. What's going on, Tyree? Tyree?
Hello?
Tyree, what's up?
Good morning.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Listen, Sunday, the silver lining is we didn't blow the game. And I get everybody's like knee-jerk reaction to signing guys. Like, I hear you talking about signing Antonio Brown. I wouldn't, even if we were 1-8 right now, I wouldn't say to sign him. Because he's just going to be a head case that you can never, I don't know what's going on. That's just out of the question. But it's like, more or less, I'm looking at this whole season, and I'm pretty sure we fired our medical staff after the Super Bowl, and then for the last 2 years, we've just been having issue after issue with injuries. And I'm not understanding. You fired, if I recollect, Rashad Jeffries had a torn bicep, but they kept him upright all the way up until the Super Bowl. So I'm not understanding how these guys got fired.
I think it was a rotator cuff. Yeah.
Labrum.
Yeah, I don't understand, man. We're all trying to make sense of it, Tyree, and the conclusions we come to just don't add up, considering a professional medical staff, a training staff, and the camp of a 32-year-old professional athlete can't come up with a better way to take care of an injury, an abdominal injury like Deshaun Jackson has had. To me, it's so confusing.
Well, and then not only that, like, look at Malik Jackson. Like, you look at his track record. Like, who's not doing their thing? I don't know if it's on Howie, the scouting team. I don't know who he's on, but Lee Jackson was out all season last year. He's had injuries. Deshaun Jackson's been dealing with this for the last. I mean, Deshaun hasn't played a full season in a year or two. So, like, you know, are they sitting around in meetings and saying, like, well, our speed guy's going to be Deshaun Jackson? And, you know, the coaches, like, do they have a say in it? Can they say, well, you know, maybe we should draft a speed guy or something? Like, I don't understand how, you know, there's not, like, when you watch the Patriots, and I hate to use them, but they are the benchmark because of the Super Bowl.
Of course.
They have, like, a plan A, B, C, and D. Like, they just, you know, they're dropping guys. They're picking up guys. When Antonio Brown scores, he's released the next week. They're just plugging and moving. And it's amazing to me. And like you said, all you guys said it earlier. I'm watching Scanlon Jones after Geronimo, or what's his name? Geronimo
Allison.
Adams are out of the game. And Scanlon Jones, who's, I haven't even heard of him.
Valdez Scantling,
guy.
Second year
like,
player.
I'm watching it. And don't get me wrong, it's Aaron Rodgers throwing the ball, but at the end of the day, he knows the routes. They're throwing back shoulder fades. They're doing things that looks like they have some type of continuity.
You have Aaron Rodgers. Here's the thing, Tyree, and for the people, and I do think it's a very small but loud portion of the fan base, the people that are still like, what the hell is Carson Wentz bringing to the table? One of the feathers they can put in their cap is that I look around and I'm like, who is he making better? Like, Aaron Rodgers will make those guys better. And you look at a guy like Carson Wentz, who's making $107.9 million in guaranteed money, he's supposed to be playing at an elite level. But then you watch Nelson Agholor fail to make any effort to catch a football on two deep balls thrown his way against the Bears, and you're going, oh, well, that's what Carson's trying to work with. You watch three throws that are right in the hands, the hip pocket of Alshon Jeffrey on third down against the Bears. And he drops all three of them, and he's your number one wide receiver. Yeah.
That's another reason I bring in two, because I don't believe he's healthy.
No, he's not.
Will he. Look, that was week two. That was Atlanta that he aggravated it.
Uh-huh.
It's now week nine, and he's not healthy. So that's 7 weeks. So why would I have confidence that he's going to get healthy the remainder of the year?
You don't.
So that's why I bring in. I throw a lasso around like five free agents. I'll come into the NovaCare. I'm going to kick the tires on every one of you.
I don't think there's anything the Eagles. I mean, that's what they have to do. Like, I don't think they signed more than one, but yeah, you got to go out there and you got to see who's available and see what they can bring to your table.
If I set the over-under for all of you today at 3:27 p.m. of the Jordan Matthews announcement coming, are you taking over or under?
I'm going to take the over. I'm going to take the over, unfortunately.
So you think it'll happen at like 4:30?
Yeah.
I hope they don't.
Oh, it's happening, Trey.
That's where you are. I mean, that's how bad it is.
Just accept it.
I know.
But it's funny.
It's coming. And he's a very nice guy.
Yeah, when you mention the Green Bays or whatever, and Aaron Rodgers hitting guys, well, he's throwing to them.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Lazards. Lazard had a horrible drop against 2 weeks ago when he had the five, when Aaron Rodgers had the five touchdown passes and ran for, had a horrible drop. Went back at him like a series later and made an unbelievable catch near the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Allison, who you mentioned, these are guys you never heard of before, but Aaron Rodgers.
He's a rookie that came in that stepped into a role.
Lazard,
the hell his name is. He's a nobody.
Exactly. So, but he's going to him. He had four targets again this past week. He's going to them. Now, whether it's Rodgers trusting them, whether it's LaFleur saying, giving them plays to throw to them, I don't know what it is. But the fact that Donovan said yesterday, nah, this is on Doug not calling up plays for Mac Hollins. Well, then, yeah, it's exactly it. What is he doing here?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then what is he doing here?
I don't know.
It's just like, that's what baffles me the most, that these guys aren't even getting targets.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
I don't understand it either. But you have a guy trying out Nelson Agholor twice in that game, and neither did he show you he had max effort.
Right. Yeah.
So, like it's not like he's not going to him again. He told Alshon after his first drop, I'm coming right back to you. Second drop, coming back to you. Third drop, coming back to you. And you know what? Alshon did make a couple of good plays in that game, but the three that really stick out to you are those third down drops. Do have to tell you, listen, 975 The Fanatic WP and Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio only from Comcast, 9 o'clock hour, brought to you by The Baxter. Dumpster in a bag, get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to TheBaxter.com. Rasheem, North Philly, what's going on, Rasheem?
Hey, what's up? How you guys doing?
Good, buddy.
Good. I want to, you know, put blame on the players a little bit, but you know, if you go back, you watch Mac Hollins in the ACC. I think Trey, we all can say the ACC is a good conference as far as developing, you know, future players for the NFL. Mac Hollins averaged over 20 yards a catch in college. You know, we get him on the Eagles. I don't see any downfield, you know, plays being ran for Mac Hollins to get him the ball downfield. This man is playing almost 200 snaps, and he had two targets. I understand the production out there, but when you're not giving a guy a chance to go for a catch, it's crazy. I don't know how he's so like complacent with not getting the ball. You know, Doug Peterson, Mike Rowe always say that the ball finds the guy who's open. But if you're telling me that this guy is running 200, you know, worth of routes and he's not open at all, I think it's kind of flawed with the philosophy of how come player development isn't there. You know, you guys were just talking about the Green Bay Packers. Geronimo Allison was a free agent signing coming out of the draft. The guy, Jake, the tall white guy, he went to a D2 school. It's the play calling to me more than it is the player.
Mm. Yeah, and then I think too, you know, Carson, I think just because he doesn't trust those players right now, he doesn't even look their way.
But that can't be an excuse just because of you know what you have on the field. You know, if you want to make your playoff push, you got to have, you know, guys that make plays. So that way, when you get down a stretch, it's not magnified, whereas though, you know, oh my God, the ball never went to him, you know, the first 16 games. But when we needed him to make a play, he wasn't able to make it. I'm just mad because, you know, I've seen his rookie year where he did have the deep catch against the Washington Redskins.
That's the game I was talking about, against Washington, where he had a deep catch.
JJ was a Tolan Gennett type of receiver. Minus the Detroit Lions drop, I haven't seen him, you know, in a game yet. you know, Alshon Jeffrey dropped three passes and he's still getting, you know, the ball thrown to him. And he's slow as molasses. Like, I'm really tired of seeing him. You have to find a way to get out of that Alshon Jeffrey contract because it's terrible. He's 28. And he's
impossible. He's here next year.
$26 million against
it's,
next year.
No, listen, it's possible. They was able to trade Brian Maxwell. So anything is possible.
That's true. How we can do anything except make an acquisition. Good stuff, Rasheem. I'm going to put you on hold. You're going to be in the running for some of our tickets here. Look, Alshon Jeffrey, as much as we're frustrated with how he's played recently, the drops that he had in that game, he still had some big catches for you in the game against the Bears. You don't beat the Bears without him.
His dead cap number next year is like $26.1 million.
That's double what I thought it was. Good God.
Yeah, his actual cap salary number is $15.69. Him and DeSean Jackson are guarantees to be back on the roster next
and
year.
I'm okay with that. I think Alshon Jeffrey is better than what we have seen. I think he's been doing. I give him credit for gutting through injury. I really do. But when it comes to how he played recently, I understand how people are pissed off and upset, but he is trying to get through the injury to help the team play, and he's still your most reliable wide receiver. That's not high praise right now, considering everybody else has been trash.
Well, his recent bad play, too, we can't overlook, is it a byproduct of something else? I mean, don't forget, it was only a couple weeks ago, the source, the story, Josina Anderson, and many, many, many fingers pointed to Alshon Jeffrey.
Uh-huh.
They still
you know,
do.
Is there, yeah, still are pointed there. I mean, is there something there? You know, when things fall apart with your teammates, with your coworkers, it affects your work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Could it be? Could it be something, you know?
It's quite possible.
Yeah.
Let's get to Kevin in Newcastle. What's going on, Kevin?
Hey, good morning, fellas. Hey, look, I would have cut Nelson Agholor at the Atlanta game. If you're not making forth any efforts to catch the ball, what do I need to pay you $10 million for?
Mm.
That would open the door for Collins and J.J. Whiteside, what have you. I mean, that would set a point also. Now, with Alshon, people say he's hurt, he's injured. Well, he played in the Super Bowl with that Rotators Cup and made some hell of five catches.
Yes, he did.
I'm not taking no excuses away from these guys, man. Now, Carson has to find him. It doesn't matter that you got confidence in him or not. You got to throw him the damn ball. Who is he? What has he won?
Well,
he hasn't won a damn thing either.
Well, I think he's putting it in guys' hands and they're not catching it.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Understand this. He also holds on to the damn ball and takes a lot of sacks instead of throwing it away. I'm cutting Agholor. He's gone. You understand? You bring in Matthews. Nobody's not going to touch AB. I was very disappointed that they didn't go after Josh Gordon. You know, just sick and tired of the nonsense. And then the play calling is suspect. Okay, if these guys aren't catching the ball, you can't go Ertz because they double-teaming him. So you put the boy Sanders in. You put Sproles in like Bob and them talk about. And you do those type of things to mix things up, to give Carson a better window or option to throw to. Also, too, we used
to say, hold on. So you're trying to trust your receivers. He's going to those receivers, and that's a problem to you. I don't understand what your gripe is.
What you mean?
Are you upset with the receivers or are you upset with Carson?
Listen, man. I'm a Philadelphian, Holmes. I'm upset with every damn body. Agholor would be cut, man. You're gonna have some drops or whatever. Agholor will be cut. At least Alshon make an attempt. Okay, he's injured, but he's making an attempt. Agholor would be cut. These other young boys would get the message by letting that stuff go. Just like Bob said, when you're in your workplace, and Alshon said that, you know, being as though, you know, that dead weight as far as that salary, you can't get rid of him. But if you're doing nonsense like that, too, if it was a way, he would have been out of there. I'm just dealing with no nonsense. How come the Patriots can play with no names? Yeah, they got Tom Brady. They play with no names. And they take no nonsense.
Uh-huh.
Even when Ocho Cinco, you know how outlandish he was.
Yes, of course.
When he went there, he shut the hell up. I can't find that precedent.
Kevin, hold on. You're my favorite caller today. Just I'm going to send you the Temple basketball game. How you like that?
That's great.
All right, just don't hate on them. All right, man. Be happy over there.
No, I'm like Bob. I'm a Philadelphian man.
Kevin, thanks for the call.
He
wins the Temple tickets. I'm going to give them to him right now because the Temple Owls, they're going to be playing Saturday, 2 p.m. at the Leah Cora Center against Morgan State Dollar Hot Dog Day at the game. So take advantage of that. Plus, also bring a canned food item to the game and save $5 on a ticket. Visit owlsticks.com for more information. How about that, huh?
Mm.
Good for him. Sorry, he's very excited.
That was great.
Plenty of blame to go around.
I'm a Philadelphian. I blame everybody.
Yeah, it's like in the 50-50 equal blame.
But see, it goes to...
They both screwed up.
Who, in terms of...
Eagles and Deshaun. Both of them. There's plenty of blame.
But he's talking about Carson versus the receivers.
Oh, yeah. Well.
And placing blame there. Like, in all honesty, I go back. I was watching it yesterday. There were a couple of throws that I looked at with Carson. I'm like, okay, if he makes a better throw there, that's a big gain. One was to Alshon Jeffrey. I think it was the second quarter, but they ended up scoring with Zach Ertz anyway on that same drive. Mm-hmm. It was a bad overthrow by Carson, but you scored on that drive anyway.
Now, what was Alshon doing? He was streaking out the sideline?
Yeah, I think he was running a seam. No, it wasn't the sideline. It was okay. Like, he wasn't lined up in the slot, I don't think, but he was in, like, he was by the hash marks.
Gotcha.
He wasn't going out of bounds by any means. So it was an overthrow by Wentz. That was a mistake. It is going to happen in the course of a game. The other one was, I think it was the third play to Darren Sproles of the three plays to Darren Sproles in the end of the first half, about two minutes left in the first half, and he overthrew Sproles a little bit. Sproles reached his hand out to try to get his hand on the ball. Got his hand on the ball, but it would have been a spectacular catch if he would have made it.
Right.
And he had at least 10 more 15 yards to run down the field a little bit, get you in better position maybe, where you could have maybe gotten a field goal on that drive. Other than that, I'm looking at the wide receivers and I'm like, make an effort!
Yeah.
You're putting the ball in the hip pocket, like I said earlier, of Alshon Jeffrey, and your most reliable wide receiver isn't coming up with that catch. That's egregious. There's no excuse for that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm trying to look at a guy that is, you know, one of the highest paid athletes in his sport. At the time he signed the deal, $107.9 million, and he ain't, I'm looking for reason to blame. And yeah, other than really nitpicking, it's hard because of how bad his receivers have been.
Somebody put it out on Twitter yesterday, looking at the, I guess it wasn't the coach's tape, but looking at something. He missed on the first drive. Very first drive that ended in the field goal when he got sacked on the last play and then they kicked the field goal.
Uh-huh.
Ertz ran like a little post and he was wide open on the turn and Wentz looked at him and his feet weren't ready to throw it and he just had to throw it on the break and he, much like you always talked about, Trey, he's got to throw it to the opening, not to the guy that's open.
Yeah.
And he just didn't. He didn't pull the trigger and then he waited half a second and then boom, everything collapsed and it was done. But Ertz was, and I watched it over and over and over again, on the break he was wide open at the goal line. It would have been a short touchdown.
To me, it seems that he has to become a better anticipation thrower.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, where he just has to say, alright, you know what, that guy is going to be there, I'll let it rip. But I don't think that he...
One of the first drive straight is exactly to your point. Zach Ertz is breaking right open at the goal line, and it's one of those where you have like a half second to hit the window or it's gone, and he wasn't fully ready to make the throw at the exact moment he needed to be, and I think he knew it after the play because he kind of was like mad at himself.
The last play before the field goal where he was sacked?
Yeah.
That was
two point eight
seconds.
Yeah, he wasn't ready.
Yeah.
And that's on him. Yeah. But
he has to be a better anticipation thrower.
Yeah,
I think that's definitely something you can improve upon. Absolutely. Let's get, if you're looking for reason to look at Carson Wentz, go, what the hell, man? I would say that. Yeah, when you look at it, not going to his hot route, not checking out of a play, that's something that you would look at him and go, that's you could brush up on a little bit there.
But I think for him to be an anticipation thrower, he has to trust the guys that are out there too. You got to trust that they're going to go out there and make a play as well. So,
well, this is Zach Ertz. I think he trusts him to make a play.
Yeah,
you would think. Does he trust himself?
Uh-oh.
Is he usually thrown the wide open?
Self-doubt.
I mean, but just, like, look, you guys, I'm a big advocate of Carson, but a lot of his throws are to, and Trey pointed this out when we first met, and I've been watching it ever since, he does throw to the wide open guy more times than not. It's not that anticipatory, you know, where's that ball going? Oh, wow, I didn't even see that. Mm-hmm. You know, hitting a guy on a cut, throwing it to an area, and a guy's going to get to it. It's more of a fake. He's wide open. Boom, here it comes. Mm-hmm. And his arm's strong enough that he can get it there after the guy's wide open.
All right. Just to let you know where we are right now in life. I told myself I wasn't going to bring this up on air unless I saw somebody else suggest it. But I heard this yesterday, and now I'm seeing this on Twitter. A guy named Jared, and I admire this, Jared. Thank you for tweeting the show. He says, a dumb suggestion. So he acknowledges it's dumb. All right?
Love that.
But we'll kick it around just because this is where we are.
It's right up our alley.
We didn't do this. All right, the Eagles did this.
Yes.
The Eagles made their fan ask this question to us.
Why'd you make him do this?
Sidney Jones. No. Yeah, I'm going to say it. Yeah. No. Sidney Jones, wide receiver.
We've officially lost our minds.
Have a great day, everybody. Like, Cindy Jones. Why? Maybe.
Can he catch?
Maybe. I doubt it because he's a corner. And the old joke is, what do you call a wide receiver that can't catch? A defensive back? I didn't say it was a funny joke.
What's his name?
What?
Was a receiver.
Troy Brown?
No. I can't think of it. Go ahead.
Well, Troy Brown did play both.
Yeah.
Did Deion lined up as a wide receiver?
Deion Branch?
No. Sanders
played everything.
No. I know that.
Troy Brown.
Was the one who, I didn't know if Branch dabbled in defensive back also. I know he won the MVP of the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I don't think he did.
Okay.
Troy Brown was the guy that would go offense and defense. So, Sidney Jones, Trey. Yay or nay? Sidney Jones, wide receiver.
If he can catch.
Trey, don't you look at me like that.
If he can catch.
I'm going to tell you right now, he can't catch.
What if he can catch?
Sure.
What if?
Joshua, nice towel. What's going on, Joshua?
Listen, give me a minute.
Okay.
Listen.
Yep.
Doug and this a quarterback syndrome is what makes a backup quarterback? His football IQ, okay? He wasn't a starting quarterback. He has this backup quarterback mindset that is filtering down to Carson. Carson, he's not making any decision. He's not taking control of the huddle. You got a muddle huddle. You got people walking back to the huddle. You got the teammates looking at the guy in the third row eating a hot dog. I mean, he's not in charge of this football team. And on the field, players respect a quarterback who is in charge of the huddle.
Uh-huh.
He's not in charge. He's looking back at Doug looking back at him, and he's not taking consistent control of this football team. And the point being that he has to have in his mind, Carson, the preacher, Wentz, has to have in his mind, I'm going to be here longer than Doug, so this is my football team. I'm taking control. You do what I tell you.
All right. You kind of lost me at the preacher thing. Is what you're saying that you want Carson to elevate everybody else's game? Is that what you're saying?
All the great quarterbacks do.
You're right.
All the great quarterbacks do that.
I think a lot of those great quarterbacks, they also had guys that wanted to be on the field, and I'm not convinced Nelson Agholor and Mac Hollins want to be on the field with him.
Well, the great quarterbacks tell the coach, look, dude, this guy can't be on the field. The great quarterbacks demand perfection or you're not getting on the field.
Uh-huh.
He's not a commander. They're not respecting him as such. And Doug and his backup quarterback.
You're losing me on the backup quarterback mindset. Yeah. I don't know what that means.
I don't know where he's going.
And as far
that.
As being a preacher, Nick Foles wanted to retire from football and become a preacher. And then he came back and he won a Super Bowl. So I don't know where you're going with that aspect of it. But when it comes to Carson, yeah, I would love to see him make everybody play at a higher level. And yeah, great quarterbacks do that. But it's really hard to throw that criticism his way when a guy like Nelson Agholor doesn't give max effort to try to catch a football. Like a ball that's there. The quarterback put the ball where it was supposed to be, mm-hmm. and he couldn't turn around and catch the football. The defensive back, Prince Amukamara in the third quarter, was past Nelson Agholor. He wasn't between the man and the ball. He was playing over the top.
Nope.
All Nelson Agholor had to do was turn around and catch football.
All I had to do was jump and secure. I mean, it's like a little kid. You throw a ball to them, they're going to go after it. They're going to go get it. Mm. He doesn't even do that. He doesn't put himself in the best position to catch a football.
Mac Hollins literally said he'd rather be a special teamer. I know I go back to that a lot, but that's the mindset of the wide receivers that are on the football team with Carson Wentz. Even the guy Alshon Jeffrey, who everyone's saying is a rat and going to the media and running to them. Like, at least when he steps on the football field, the man wants to play. The ball was in his hip pocket. He dropped three passes. That's egregious. Nobody's making excuses. That's embarrassing if you're a professional like Alshon Jeffrey. Mm-hmm. But you know what? At least I know that guy wants the football. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. All right, coming up, we'll get an update on our Twitter poll, and we'll also run through some calls. We do got to tell you about it was awful last night with the Sixers. One thing in particular, it was a close game, they fought hard and all that stuff, but one thing was just flat out embarrassing from the Sixers game last night. We've talked about it before, we'll revisit it in a few here on 97.5, The Fanatic.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
So, if you got a chance to stay up and watch that Sixers game last night, 9 o'clock tip-off against the Suns, you saw something that was rather disappointing. And that was Aaron Baines, first off, with no man bun. I was like, what's the deal with the no man bun? Come on, man.
Everybody changing up a little bit.
I barely recognized him.
Gotta change up sometimes.
Barely recognized him, man. And not only was he in that game, he played against Ben Simmons and shut him down. That wasn't supposed to happen this year, Bob.
It's a shame that a scheme can... I equated it to this. You know, you're a point guard. You go out, you look at a defense. All right, they're playing a zone. They're playing a 3-2 zone. They're overloading one side. Mm-hmm. They're coming out, man, and they're double-teaming the ball. They're going high on the pick and roll. Whatever, all those things as a point guard, those are things you recognize. You go out and you see it right away. Did Ben Simmons not go out and recognize that Aaron Baines was covering him last night? No, of course he recognized it. But the fact that he didn't, and Brett Brown didn't have a plan of how to attack it, it's just concerning. It's just concerning that it put that much of a damper on that on their night. Like, to me, Ben Simmons looked lost last night. You know, dribbling a lane, jumping in the air and turning and trying to throw the ball. And he just seemed so out of sorts. And all I could think of was, guys, this is the defense that everybody has talked about playing against you that you're trying to overcome with the jump shooting. How can you not recognize it to the point of you have a plan to attack it? That's what bothered me last night.
And what else made it what made it worse was the fact it was Monty Williams coaching that team.
Yeah.
Who, if you rank coaches in the NBA in terms of who knows Ben Simmons the best, it'd be Brett Brown, and then probably Monty Williams, and then Lloyd Pierce as well, who does a fine job in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Seems to always match up against the Sixers very well in Atlanta. And Ben Simmons, 6 of 8 shooting. 6 points is what he had to offer your offense last night. With Joel Embiid still out of the lineup, as we well know. And yeah, Al Horford played another great game, 35 minutes last night. Was your leading scorer. You need a little bit more for your point guard there.
Yeah, there's just so many different things you could do. And I alluded to one of them where you could go spread once in a while and just have him go like a freight train from the top of the key. Tell me Aaron Baines is going to have the footwork to get in front of him to stop him or be able to elevate to block him. No, that's not going to happen. You could use him as a picker. Have somebody else on the point. Have Ben Simmons setting high picks at a foul line extended. His guy coming off of it, well, if that's not open and the guy comes off, he stands there and catches and he's wide open at 15 feet. Okay, there's the shot you practice. You're the picker, you turn, pick and pop. You're the popper. Catch the ball and shoot. That's what you practiced. I mean, if they practice it and Brett says he's good with them going with it, last night was the perfect time. But instead, you just seemed utterly confused.
Mm-hmm. Everything in that offense last night, I mean, you had Tobias Harris looking good for you. You had Furkan Korkmaz stepping up for you last night. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Al Horford, obviously, again, I'll say his name. But to not get points from your point guard, and even the assist game for him wasn't off the charts.
Everything was off.
He did not look like he could find a flow within the game.
No.
And it was very upsetting to see a guy like Aaron Baines be able to take him out of that game.
Yeah.
Let's get to, go ahead, Bob, something else?
No, I was going to say, and it's not even, not to contradict you, but it's not even the name, it's the scheme to me. It was just, schematically, they took a center.
Yeah.
You're right, though. Yeah. You're right, it was Aaron Baines. But schematically, they took a center, an immobile center. Because Aaron Baines isn't a mobile dude. An immobile center, and said, you cover him, and it confused the hell out of the Sixers as to what to do and how to attack.
I only say the name because people know it from the playoffs
right.
2 years ago.
No, you're exactly right. But I'm just saying, like, we don't even need to put Aaron Baines as an immobile center is what they did. And they didn't know how to attack it.
And no man bun.
Yeah.
Let's acknowledge the no man bun,
Maybe
Bob.
He didn't recognize it.
I mean, it's simply because he can't out-physical them. Like, that's his strength in a half-court set right now. Besides his vision and his passing, and, like, he's a good post-up player. But the reason he's able to be successful against guards is because he simply out-physicals them. When you have an Aaron Baines guarding him, He can't do that.
Yeah, muscles him. Yeah. But here's the thing. He's also supposed to be able to put the ball on the floor.
No, he is. And last night's a perfect night where the Ben needs a jump shot crowd is justified.
It was a big win for the jump.
It was.
Need a jump shot crowd. Stick. Is it in Clearwater? Stick?
He's
is
a
that
drummer.
It?
Yeah.
Hi,
yeah,
Stick. What's up, buddy? Clearwater. My man.
Hey, man. How you guys doing?
Good, buddy.
Oh, good.
Good. Hey, I just wanted to tell you, I'm trying to do my part. I was Torrey Smith's first mentor and coach back in his day, so I've been texting him all morning.
Oh, yeah?
Trying to get him. Yeah. And he told me Howie has definitely hit him up, and he's tried to say, you know, he's tried to tell Howie, hey, he thinks he's done, but I don't think he's done. Torrey's in great shape. He could run the fly pattern for us out there as a Z. I mean, I just think it's a win-win if we can all get behind this push to get Torrey to come back.
Torrey, come back, please. Yeah, they need awesome. You.
Get out there and throw him some balls, Stick.
Yes.
I will do that. You know, Torrey's a great, great person. You know that in the community. We just got finished putting a park in our old hometown in Colonial Beach, Virginia, together.
Okay.
And he's just such a great, great person. And he magically came to us for that one season, knowing that the Eagles were my favorite team growing up. And just I still think it was divine intervention that brought Torrey there. And then we won it all that one year coming off a 7-9 season.
Well, his wife's from up here, right? She's from like Conshohocken or something?
Yeah. She wants to play with Whitewash.
Yes, she is.
Come on, Torrey, come back!
The in-laws are right there in Philly. You know, he's living in Baltimore now, so... Right down
95. I'll stop the construction on 95 if it means Torrey Smith will get to the Novacare Complex faster.
I'm all for it, man.
There we go. Stick, thanks, brother.
Thank you, guys.
All right.
Hey, one more thing.
Yeah.
Hey, about basketball, I can throw one tidbit in there. I was a basketball coach. The Sixers, I love them. God bless their hearts. But they're the worst team in the NBA on defending the pick and roll, and we're the worst team in the NBA on developing our own pick and roll offensively.
Yeah, I agree with you. The pick and roll, it's an effort thing, but it's also a coaching thing. And they do struggle with it. Their one guy gets held off way too long. I think Richardson's pretty good at it. I like the way he fights through it. But I just didn't... through a couple of games, even though they won that Portland game last night, they're just giving up way too many open threes. And for a team with length... look, force teams off the three-point line. It shouldn't be that hard. Make your positioning be at the three-point line and force guys like, you know, Booker in and Dame Lillard. Force them inside the three-point line with your length. Make them beat you inside.
Torrey, come back. We can put it all on you. Torrey, come back. All right, Maurice, what's going on? Sorry about that. Maurice, what's going on? Maurice, did I scare you away, my friend?
Somebody tweeted us that he's still living in the area.
Baltimore's close.
It's only meant, yeah.
No, he meant like local.
Like in Conchie?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. I'll have him back. Let's party. Steve, Mount Airy, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey.
I got a couple scenarios, but it's one thing that pisses me off that all Philly teams struggle in, and that's scouting. Like, I'll give you a couple scenarios. I feel like trade deadline and offseason is like Christmas day for us. We got to have this guy. For example, like the Sixers, Markelle Fultz, Zaire Smith didn't work out. We got to get Jimmy Butler. We need a bat. We need pitching. We got to get Zach Greinke and get another bat. Eagles didn't develop any wide receivers.
Yes.
We got to get wide receivers. We got to get Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah.
We have to get, instead of blaming the GMs all the time, how about our scouting department? It sucks.
No, we've talked about that at length. Yes. That is the ability to develop young talent here has been embarrassing.
Yeah, and it's like I know we're a big market team. And I think that's what they're probably looking at. Like, we're not into scouting like the Tampa Bay Rays and like those small market teams. But we need somebody to draft. We got to draft well. We got to hold our scouting department. And sometimes the GM's accountable. The coach was out of, I give Brett Brown tremendous credit because he, with all the crap that he has to deal with the players that don't have good development, he turned them into something. Mm-hmm. So I give him credit. He's a great coach. But Doug Peterson and all these other coaches that we have, like Gabe Kapler, they just didn't develop guys properly. And I just think that's what we're lacking in.
Steve, we believe me, you're not going to find one counter argument here. And thanks for the call, man. We're all on the same page as you. When it comes to how bad this city has been at developing young talent, that's why we're all giddy in the early goings over Matisse Thybulle. Like, imagine a guy coming in here be a 3-and-D guy off the bat. And not just 3-and-D, but a great defender and a guy that can hopefully develop that outside game as well. Yeah, it's almost a foreign concept to us. Even a guy like Rhys Hoskins, who showed great flashes early on in his career, and now looking at him going, wow, a sub 200 hitter in the second half of the season?
Did you see the photo I tweeted last night?
Yeah, I tell you, dude, that was disturbing.
Of Rhys's bachelor party?
Yeah.
He was dressed up as Princess...
So what? Hold on. Wait. Say what now?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Rhys's bachelor party in Scottsdale, Arizona. Rhys Hoskins.
Okay.
Scott Kingery, obviously, is from the area. I think maybe was hosting or throwing, whatever. He's
really good friends with Rhys Hoskins.
Yeah. Involved in the party. So it was called the Big Fellas Fellas. Now, Rhys Hoskins dressed up as Princess. Is it Princess Toad or just Princess?
I don't know.
I think
just Princess anything. I mean,
he had a crown on, tights, the dress, the full thing.
From Super Mario Brothers.
And then half of his boys were dressed as Mario. The other half of the boys dressed as Luigi.
Uh-huh. Was it a Halloween slash bachelor party?
Yeah, it could have been. Okay. You know, last Saturday night, maybe some Halloween festivities, but.
It was odd.
It was something.
It was.
Don't really like seeing my slugger dressed up as princess, but you know maybe I could be in the minority.
Big,
I don't know.
Big fella,
the big fellas,
the big fellas.
Yeah, it was something.
You know what? He's very confident. His confidence is back.
Maybe he should find confidence in hitting breaking balls.
Maybe. I just, you know, do the launch angle. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. All right, coming up here one last time from Doug Peterson yesterday. Kind of backtracking during his press conference in regards to DeSean Jackson. Time of the Fanatic, 941.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
I think I got my swagger back. Oh, oh.
What it do, baby?
Yeah, you.
You right there?
Shut up.
Struggling.
Oh, good for you.
Start playing with some jam in here. Let's go.
All right, so how quick do they sign a wide receiver?
Let's see what we can bring in. I mean, you know, it's the Sidney Jones thing. I don't know. He's already there.
Is Jordan Matthews signed yet? Did we do that yet?
Come on, James. Coming we need soon. Some breaking news.
He definitely doesn't want to cover anybody. And I don't mean to be, but he was struggling with it. So, let's see. Can you run around? Can you catch?
No, unfortunately, I don't think they can. That's the main problem from this squad,
I think
my
he might
friend.
Have hands.
In case I had to tell you earlier, the 9 o'clock hour brought to you by the Baxter Dumpster to bag it yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to thebaxter.com. Here's Doug Peterson yesterday on whether or not. Now, this was before the news broke, as John Clark reported that our friend DeSean Jackson is going to be missing the next 4 to 6 weeks, recovering from this old-fashioned sports hernia injury, if you will. Here he is yesterday, asked if he had any regrets about DeSean playing in Sunday's game.
Going into his rehab, what he had been doing, he was really busting his tail, you know, to get back out on the field, and he had a really good week of practice. We limited him even in practice, but what he could do, he was feeling good, and so I have no regrets putting him out there.
No regrets putting him out there. And then a little bit later, there's a follow-up question, if you will, and he didn't say regrets, but he talked about second-guessing. Here it is.
I mean, sitting here today, you kind of go, all right, maybe you should have. You're second-guessing now, and we're in a business where we got to play, and we got to play with the guys that are in uniform. And again, he busted his tail to put himself in a position to help us yesterday. And again, he just felt that discomfort, so we kept him out, and that's where we are.
Ah, how about that one? And now here we are. And I agree with you.
Back at the old Jordan Matthews phase of the season, which seems like a regular occurrence every year now.
Hey, Torrey Smith. His high school coach said he's still good to go? Mm-hmm. Let's party. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, whatever.
Get back to your train of thought, because I liked how you started this. You agree with me about what? Whenever you say I agree with you, Bob, I have to take that in.
I don't know.
Now you don't remember.
Jamie just way to go, Jamie.
Yeah, typical. way to go, Lynch.
No, but I agree with you in terms of Doug Peterson just being told who's healthy and who can go and who can't go. I don't think it's Doug pushing a player to go in there and play.
Yeah, I know Brett Brown, it used to be, we would ask him about it, and he's like, guys, look, I go into my office every day. I have a list of all the players. They either have a green circle next to him, which means he's go, or a red circle, which means he isn't, or a yellow one that says, well, take a look at him and see how he looks.
Game-time decision?
Yeah, that's what they know.
All right, Sam Wilson, go ahead and give me a final on our Twitter poll, please. What'd that look like at the end of the day?
Our Twitter poll was brought to you by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all style windows, plus make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. This morning, we had two, but we ended up switching it. So our final Twitter is, who are you most frustrated with, DeSean Jackson's camp or the Eagles staff? We had just under 2,000 votes. 58% said Eagles staff.
Eagles staff. See, I would agree mostly with actually, no, I'm sorry. I would agree with the people that would go with DeSean Jackson. Because to me, to opt not to have the surgery is just crazy to
me.
Well,
for the Eagles not to IR him and get a guy in here for the past 7 weeks is crazy to me.
Yeah, but this is more in relations to the DeSean Jackson injury itself. Like, that is, like, you could say that all year long. I think about, I'm frustrated with the Eagles because they're not undefeated.
So, moral of the story is there's equal blame to go around everywhere.
Moral of the story is Jordan Matthews, T-minus 6 hours.
Come on down.
He becomes an Eagle for a thrice time. By the way, on a more positive note, Rodney McLeod, safety for the Eagles, doing a phenomenal thing this year. Yet again, joining up with the AACR. To find a cure for all types of cancer. And guess what, Eagles fans? You can help out where you can win an ultimate Birds fan experience. Two tickets to a Monday night game. That's December 9th. Field passes and a VIP tour of the ESPN broadcast truck. Eagles safety Rod McLeod has set a goal to raise $23,000 for the American Association for Cancer Research. First and largest organization dedicated to finding cures for all cancers. Go to 975thefanatic.com/donate to make a donation to Roddy McLeod's Race to 23,000 campaign. And your donation automatically enters you for an opportunity to win this great Birds fan experience. Donate today to support cancer research, and you could win. Exclusively from the Eagle Safety, Rodney McLeod, the AACR, and 97.5, The Fanatic. Do we have the name of our Flyers fan?
Yeah, Sam has them.
He's got all sorts of passion. I know who it is. So I'll locate it after the show. Do you have it right in front of you?
I have three of them. I don't know which one you're talking about.
I know which one it is.
Okay. Yeah,
Jamie's got it. All right, we'll get to it a little bit later, but congratulations. You have won Flyers tickets to tonight's game against the Hurricanes at the Wells Fargo Center. Don't miss out getting Flyers exclusive Gritty Chia Pet tonight. Secure your seats now for Flyers versus Canes, that matchup. Make sure you do so at Flyers.com. Tickets start at just $25. Sam Wilson, what is your takeaway of the day?
My takeaway is I'm giving DeSean the benefit of the doubt, and maybe he saw Matt Collins and was like, yeah, he was out all last year for the same reason. I'm not doing that. And he tried to avoid it.
Possibly. Yeah. Jamie Lynch.
Really, 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 really excited about the third time around for Jordan Matthews to be an Eagle, because we all know it's coming.
Bob Cooney, you brilliant man, you.
Salt Caves, here I come. Can't wait.
Salt Cave. That's right.
Yeah, I'm going to hang out in Salt Cave. Ready.
That's what we are going to do. Stay tuned for Anthony Gargano middays here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.